In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Happy last Sunday of the church year. We begin a new church year next Sunday, and when you have a new year coming, you know, on January 1st, the ecclesiastical calendar, as you know, does not follow the civil calendar. But when you have a new year, you make a lot of resolutions, New Year's resolutions, and I don't know how many people actually follow through and fulfill those resolutions. Several New Years in the past, I resolved to learn how to fly, and that one didn't go anywhere. But I have made a resolution for this upcoming church year. I have resolved that we have heard enough about Jesus and Him crucified, and I'm not going to even mention the cross during the next church year. Okay. I see some smiles on some faces. If I were not to preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified, you should stay away from here, because it is through Christ's crucifixion alone that we are enabled by God's grace, with sins forgiven, to enter into that new age, to be citizens of that new heavens and new earth, because Christ crucified is the means by which we were reconciled to God. Christ crucified is the way that forgiveness was won for you and for me. Christ crucified is the one who, through holy baptism, has made you children of the Heavenly Father. So, I think you will agree with me that the cross is not merely important, but it is vital. It is foundational to the Christian faith. If the Son of God had entered into this world to give us a list of rules to follow, to teach us how to be good, how to follow His example, or how to live the triumphant life, we'd be up the creek without a paddle, because we are sinners. We can't keep God's commandments with anything approaching the perfection that He demands of us. Here, try to keep the third commandment throughout the remainder of this service. That means you don't let your mind wander. You don't let your mind stray away from what we are doing. Your thoughts don't go elsewhere, to your Sunday dinner or to the game this afternoon. How well would you do with that? Nah. That itself shows that we are sinners. That itself shows that we are so easily distracted from what is important in the kingdom of God. And all we can do is cry out to the Lord to have mercy upon us, poor, miserable sinners that we are. It is through Christ crucified and resurrected that the end of the age has come upon us. Just as we end a new the old church year today, so there is a new heavens and a new earth awaiting those who are in Christ, who confess His holy name, who cling to Him for the remission of sins, and who look forward with eagerness to His reappearing. Christ is returning again, and when He returns, that will ring down the curtain on this present fallen world in which we live, and then the curtain shall rise again to reveal that wonder and that glory of being in the presence of the triune God, of being with our Savior in paradise for all eternity, something that we cannot begin to imagine, something that is beyond our finite human understanding. Francis Clyde has experienced that. He has entered into, by the grace of God, a reality beyond anything that we can possibly grasp, earthbound fallen creatures that we are. Your loved ones who have died in Christ, your friends who have died in Christ, our church members who have died in Christ are entered into this wonderful glory that is beyond anything that human lips can describe or utter. But here's the promise. Here's the reality. Christ was crucified as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And on this last Sunday in the church year, it is appropriate that we are freshly reminded of the cross upon which our Savior graciously died on behalf of us sinners. The sermon hymn, the hymn of the day, was a Lenten hymn, and the focus is on the sufferings, the torment, the death of Christ our Savior, for which we owe Him 1,000,000 thanks to our dearest Jesus. Why is He dear to you? Because the Holy Spirit, through the means of grace, has given you faith in Him. Trust not in your own merits, but in the Christ, the lovely Christ, whose beauty is nowhere better displayed than in the humiliation of the cross. That humiliation should have been yours and mine. Yeah, we deserve to die a horrible death, but imagine the humiliation of appearing before a righteous God when you are still in your sins. This is the greatest humiliation of all. But the Christ, who on the cross was abandoned by God briefly while He bore the sins of the world, has taken your humiliation and your shame away. And you are righteous in Him. Perfectly righteous. Perfectly holy in God's eyes, as you shall be in fullness at the end of the age. There's a little drama that takes place in today's gospel reading. Jesus was crucified between two criminals. Isaiah says He was numbered with the transgressors, even though He was without sin. And yet, there He was between these two criminals, murderers, terrorists, thieves. These were not guys you would want to have sitting at your Thanksgiving table. But think about this. The word for Thanksgiving in the New Testament is related to the word Eucharist. And it is to the Eucharist that Christ invites penitent sinners. And again, as we partake of the sacrament, as we eat and drink Christ's body and blood beneath the forms of bread and wine, that is the greatest cause of thanksgiving of all. As the hymn said, 1,000,000 thanks shall be, dearest Jesus, unto Thee. So two criminals on the cross. One rails at Jesus. That means he's given him a hard time with words. How many times do you use the word railed to describe your yelling at someone or someone yelling at you? But anyway, this criminal, in an anguish of pain and despair and fury at Christ cries out to him, "If you are the Christ, save yourself and us." Kind of like what the devil said to Jesus in the wilderness, "If you are the Christ, turn these stones into bread." But Jesus is a Christ who does things God's way. Jesus is a Christ who does not try to escape suffering and humiliation and the most horrible kind of death. Jesus is a Christ who gives himself freely in obedience to his Father's will to die for us and for our salvation. Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. He would not save himself, because if he did, he could not save you. He had to bear the cross. He had to suffer and die there. He had to shed his holy and precious blood, and he did it for you. There was a second criminal. He rebuked the first, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation?" You could turn that around. Jesus was under the sentence of condemnation that we sinners deserved. And he willingly placed himself under that condemnation. But back to the second criminal. "Don't you fear God? You're under the same condemnation as he is. We deserve this. But this man has done no wrong." And then here's the climax of the drama. Here's the climax of the church year. The penitent criminal, the one who recognized his sin, the one who recognized that his life was coming to an end in one of the most horrible ways we can imagine, the one who knew that he had done nothing good to deserve God's favor, looked to Christ and said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Remember is a common word in the Bible. It's used many times in the Old Testament. It's used in the story of Noah's Ark. God remembers Noah and his family. God does not forget them. God provides for them. God remembers us in our need. And this criminal says, "Jesus, remember me in my need. I am a sinner. I justly deserve God's condemnation. But remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus says to him, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Now is the day when we who are by nature sinful and unclean have the opportunity to be with Jesus in paradise. Yes, our loved ones are there already, but so are we. To be with Jesus is to be in paradise, and we have a little paradise right here. Remember that Matthew says at the beginning of his gospel that the virgin, it's quoting Isaiah, shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. And Matthew explains what Emmanuel means. God with us. God with us in the holy flesh of Jesus. God with us through the incarnation. God with us in the midst of thick and thin. God with us in our suffering humanity. God with us in our death. But most especially today, God with us in the sacrament of Christ's body and blood, and in the preaching of the holy gospel of forgiveness. Jesus is with us, and that's what makes this place a little paradise. the promise of your baptism is today you will be with me in paradise. The promise of your instruction in the faith, no matter at what age that instruction occurs, is that you will be able to partake of the sacrament of the altar and receive the gifts that overflow from the paradise where Jesus is. The crucifix on the altar, the processional crucifix, the patterns on the front and back of your hymnal remind us of these things. And it is critically important that we be reminded of Christ and Him crucified, because otherwise we will go off on our own tangents. Otherwise we will, forgetting the cross, seek another way of salvation. But here we have it at the end of the church year. Here you will have it at the end of your life. Because whether or not I'm the pastor or someone else is, their calling is to speak into your ears as you are dying the promise of the gospel, that your sins are indeed forgiven, that you are God's child, that you need fear no wrath, and at the moment of your death, you will be with Christ in paradise, an unspoiled paradise, a paradise that He has opened for you through His death and His resurrection. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus, your Savior.